Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want to talk to you today again about the revealing of God and how God reveals to us, and how do we position ourselves for the Holy Spirit as He searches the deep things of God. See, there's a lot of, so much of God that we just don't know. Bobby Connor said it long ago. He said, we're way too familiar with a God that we barely know. And that is so, so true. And in comparison to who He truly is. But I want to talk a little bit about that. Remember, last Sunday we talked about God wants to reveal His mysteries. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, it talks about that we speak the wisdom and to those who are mature, a wisdom, however, that is not of this age. See, there's a lot of wisdom in this age that is not godly wisdom, but yet we need some of that, but most of that we can do without, but some of it we need. But the divine wisdom, the divine revelation is what we need. And he says here that we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. So there's a mystery that's been revealed because it's been hidden. How many of you know there's some things in God that's hidden and you haven't seen it yet? Four of us, you know, surely there's got to be more. Maybe I need to step down and let somebody else preach. You know, there's so much that's hidden in God that we haven't seen yet. So he's going to show it to us. And we have to be a people that is positioned or in the right position to be able to see what He's revealing and to be able to capture what he gives us. But in verse 10 it says, For to us God revealed them, the mysteries, through the Spirit. See, it has to be through the Spirit of God that you see the mystery of God, because without the Spirit of God, you won't see it. Without the Spirit of God, this book is just a book. This is the Bible, but you can read it, but you need to read it with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and I the deeper things in this book that we don't know about. That's the reason we have to have the Word and the Spirit of God in operation in our life. Does everybody know that's the truth? It's not just the Word and it's not just the Spirit. So I'm just going to follow the Spirit. Well, you won't be able to follow the Spirit without following this Word. You got to have both. It's not either or. You know, the enemy tries to divide us in camps and in denomination. He tries to divide us. Okay, this crowd is all about the Spirit. This crowd is all about the Word. Well, it's not one or the other. It's both and. You got to have both of them, right? Because when you start reading, you know, this book is meant to be read with the Spirit of God inside you and I, leading you and I. Because without the Spirit, we won't find the truth that we need to see. We won't find the mysteries that we need to see. Because it said the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will. Not just reading the Word. We need to read the Word. We need to be captivated by the Word. We really do. We need to memorize it. We need to know. But you know, even the Pharisees memorized the Word. They memorized the Word. They protected the Word. The Torah. They watched over it and they protected it. But they missed Jesus when He showed up. Why? They didn't have revelation knowledge. It wasn't revealed to them because they didn't believe he was who He says He was. But see, so you and I can memorize, you can read, and we can study, we can do all of those things are great, but we need the Spirit of God to illuminate, to show us the things that we don't know. How many of you think you know all there is to know in the Bible? Let's narrow it down, not about the world, but you know everything there is to know about the Bible. No takers. You was about to get the pulpit if you did, but because I wanted to hear from a man or a woman who knows it all, you know, but not really. I really don't, because there's a deception that goes along with that. So here God says, for to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. And it goes on down. It says that you and that we may know the things freely given to us by God. How are you going to know the things that God has really given us without the Holy Spirit revealing them to you? You won't. So that's the reason it's so important to us for us to understand a revealed knowledge of God. There is a natural wisdom, natural knowledge, and all that's good. But the divine knowledge, the revealed knowledge from God, is what will make us a free people. It will be freedom that we've never experienced before. How many of you have already learned something from the revelation of God that has made you freer than you once were? All right. See, some of you, that's salvation. Some of you, or all of us, it's salvation. But some of you, it even goes a little deeper. Why? Because we're hungry for it. We're hungry to know God in a deeper way. We're hungry to know Him that is beyond the teachings of man. We want that revealed knowledge. We even mentioned last week about the Matthew 13, and we quoted this verse, but I'm going to just read it to you. And this is red letter words, and he says, "To you," everybody say, "That's me."
That's me.
Right. "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." Did you know who it is?
Yes.
Who is it? Do we have their key? No, we don't want to break and enter. Is it Eileen?
I don't know. I'm
going to
go see.
Okay. Listen.
I'm sorry,
Beth. No, don't listen. Don't be. I mean, you come to this church, we'll protect you. And we'll change your tire. As we teach you about Revelation. Revelation just happened. A word just came. You got a flat tire.
The gifts are operating.
The gifts are operating fully. Absolutely. I think it's just awesome. It's awesome to be family. You know, church is not meant to be stiff. It's alive. It's vibrant. It's beautiful. We celebrate. We rejoice. We praise. You know, there's a time for, we need to be quiet. We need to listen. And there's a time we need to make an announcement. You got a flat tire if you drive a green car. A green something. I don't know what it is. What? Okay. Where is I see you. John, I see you. Mr. Graham, I see you. They're from South Africa. And y'all remember the Sunday that I was trying to understand what all of y'all were saying? Y'all were saying QR. And I was hearing you are. Brenda had to come. I mean, y'all remember that Sunday? I just couldn't get it. And finally, Brenda came up and she said, Q. Well, Brenda don't like coming up, but she done heard enough of this battle going on. So I talked to Mr. Graham afterwards, and I said, "How you guys doing today?" And he said, "We're doing great." He said, "You know there's two kinds of people in this world." I mean, just right off the bat. And I said, "No, I need to know this. I need to learn this." Two kinds. He said, "Those who have hearing aids and those who need them." I said, "Well, I don't have hearing aids." Anyway, may need them though. Matthew 13. to you it has been granted. Granted by God. It has been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's granted already. If we don't know the mysteries of the kingdom, it's because we're not listening. We're not watching. We're not hungry enough. We're not seeking. We're not looking for it. But he says, to you it's been granted. And he goes on, he said, and whoever has, what's he done? Whoever has what? Whoever has this mystery that's been revealed to you, whoever has, to him more shall be given. Whoever has, to him more shall be given, and it shall be given in abundance. So when you learn, you and I learn how to treasure the revelation that God gives us as individuals to live this life out and to know him better and to walk in a way that reveals him, because we hang on to it. We said, you know, that's mine. That belongs to me. I've become one with it. I know it. I have become one. It has become one with me, the revelation that God has given. And he said, when you become one with that truth, it will make you free. So the making of freedom is something. See, Galatians says, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. See, when you came out of the darkness into the light, that was a setting free. You came out of bondage and into freedom. He set you free. But truth known and becoming intimate with will make you free, because he said it is for freedom, that's the making freedom, that Christ set you free. Are we here? You know, so God is in the process of making us free. He's already set us free. But you know, you can be in salvation and still in bondage. Not in bondage to hell, because he's already fixed that for you. He's already taken you out of darkness and put you and I into light. So it says here that we have that. And then he says, those that do not have, even what they do have will be taken away. So revelation to us, the revealing of the Spirit of God coming to us, the revelation knowledge is extremely important to the church. We are weak as a church, as a whole, the whole church. We're weak because we do not have the revelatory knowledge at the time. See, I honestly believe there are hidden things of God that he is in the process of revealing and in the process of showing us at this moment and for this time. There are things that have been hidden that he wants to reveal and is revealing. The Spirit of God is doing that for this day and time, so we can operate in this day and time with a freedom that is beyond our knowing. Now, I believe that. Why? Because the Bible is, he said, for this age, the other ages didn't know it, but it's coming. So we need to have this revelation that comes to us. Over in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47 says this, surely God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries. He is the revealer of mysteries. And what was the other verse? It has been granted to you to know, to have the mysteries of the kingdom revealed to you. It's already granted. It's granted for us to know. And he said, because he is the revealer of all the mysteries. You remember Peter? Peter was with the disciples and Jesus, and Jesus is asking them questions about who do people say that I am? And they say, oh, you're a prophet, you're Elijah, they think you're this and you're that. And he listened, and he said, then he asked him a little deeper question. Who do you say that I am? See, that's a question you and I need to answer. Who do you say that he is? Who is he? So he asked that to Peter. And you remember what Peter said, right? Everybody remember what Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what was Jesus' response? Oh, you are a blessed man. Peter, you are a blessed man. Why is he a blessed man? Because he's a disciple of Jesus? He said, you are a blessed man. Then he goes on and he says, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. This came to you from the Father who is in heaven. This was revealed to you by the Father. See, all the hidden things are in the Father. All of them that's hidden are in the Father. See, the Spirit leads us to Jesus and Jesus leads us to the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So revelation comes and Jesus responds to this and he says, revelation knowledge just came to you because man didn't tell you that. That came from him, that came from the Father. And then he says this, he called you Peter, he said, I call you a little rock. And then he says, upon this rock, and a lot of people think upon Peter, but no, it's not talking about Peter. It's talking about revelation knowledge from the Father. He said, upon this revelation knowledge from the Father, I will build my church. And then he describes the church that he builds that is hearing from the Father, that is getting thing through the Spirit of God from the Father. He said, this church, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. In other words, you'll be able, the church that he builds that is hearing revelation from the Father, getting revelation from the Spirit, that is not contrary to the Word because we have to know the Word as well. He said, because you heard the Father speak to you, this is what I'm building the church on. A hearing knowledge of what God is saying for us today that is not conflictive with what he said the other day. And that's how the church will be able to overpower hell. Whatever comes out, whatever, you know, in Gladiator, he said, whatever comes, he don't know what's about to come out of those gates. I don't know what's about to come out of those gates, but we got a whole lot better chance of withstanding it and overcoming it by becoming one. Becoming one with him and becoming one with each other. Why? Listen, do you know why the whole multitude of people left Jesus from a hillside? I mean, the whole crowd left him. Except for his disciples, and they were going up to him, and they were ready. Y'all remember that? Because Jesus said this, just what he said. Hey, anybody? Cause, you know, hey, we've done fed him, and people follow him just for the food. Hey, Jesus said he's going to go on the other hillside today. Let's go over there and eat. He feeds whenever we got all these people. He feeds people. Then he said, listen, anybody want to be my disciple? He's going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Why did the whole hillside leave? They didn't have any revelation knowledge about what he was talking about. Is that right, William? William, if me and you had been on the hillside, we'd have left too. We'd have been gone. Are you going to drink his blood? No. You going to eat it? No, I'm out of here. I am too. So here you go. And then the disciple said, you know, look, Jesus, this is a hard saying. What you're saying is real difficult. Basically what he's saying, he said, have you turned around and seen the hillside of people leaving? Maybe the insinuation is you need to alter what you're saying here. I mean, that's not written, but that's the implication. He said, this is a hard saying. You know, and Jesus put his entire ministry on the line by saying these words. What about you? Same goes for you. He could have lost every one of his disciples at that very moment were it not for revelation knowledge. And he could have went and picked another 12. Start it all over. So he put his, you know, there's sometimes you have to put things on the line for revelation knowledge to come, for the revealing of what he wants to say. They said, where else can we go? You have the words of life. You're the giver of life. Now, who told? It was revealed to him that, hey, wait a minute. We can't leave. You're the giver of life. Where else can we go? We want life. We've already tasted and seen how good you are. We can't go back. We don't have anywhere else to go. You're the giver of life. While the whole crowd of the hillside were leaving. See, you know why Jesus said that? Anybody know why Jesus said that? Why did Jesus tell them, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood? Why did Jesus tell them that? Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father saying. So what did he have? Revelation knowledge as the Father spoke to him. He heard the Father speak. Right? He didn't use his God card. He laid that down. You know why he laid it down? Because you and I don't have a God card. We need the Holy Spirit, just like he had to have the Holy Spirit upon him to do miracles. So the reason he said that is because he heard the Father say it. So revelation knowledge came to him to say that. I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father does. And then it came to Peter, came to the disciples. You don't have anywhere else to go. Let me ask you this. Has anybody got anywhere else to go other than Jesus? You know, I've already been there. It ain't worth it. Right? How many of you have been to the different places trying to look for life and trying to look for things that's going to encourage you and help you and build your life and build your family and build who you are in him? You know, that's not out there other than him. So this thing about revelation knowledge is extremely important to us. You know, so you begin to see how vital it is. But you know, it's not just for his disciples at that moment, it's for us. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, somewhere in verse 9. Paul is beginning to tell him, he said, I've been sent to bring to light. Bring to light means to reveal. I've been sent to bring to light, to reveal the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God. I've been sent to bring to light, to reveal the administration of the mysteries of God that has been hidden in him who created all things. So Paul got revelation knowledge of what he was supposed to do. Then he says this. Here's the good part. You ready for another good part? Verse 10. In order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. What does that mean? What that means is that the church, once we see, he's got to give it, because the Bible says that now it may be made known through the church. If something's going to be made known through the church, that means it's got to come to the church. So if we are going to make known, reveal, if we're going to reveal the manifold, the multicolored wisdom of God, if we're going to reveal that to rulers and in heavenly places, if we're going to make that realm known about the word of God, the wisdom of God, we're going to make that wisdom of God known in that realm, we're going to have to know it. Right. If it's going to come through the church, it's got to come to the church. Right. Amen. Amen. You can't give away what you don't have. Exactly. Amen. Reagan, have you got $20 in your wallet? Okay. Have you got $100 in your wallet? I'm sorry? You can get one. Your father's rich, right? He owns the cattle. Anyway, 1,000 hills. Yeah, but see, he can't give that $20 unless he has it. You can't give away revelation unless you have it. Peter couldn't tell that to Jesus unless he had it, unless he heard it, unless he was listening for it. Does that make sense? So we need to listen for it. Get ready for it. Listen for it. And it's for these days. It's for this hour and this time that he gives away or reveals, pulls the curtain back and lets us see things that we've never seen before. How vital is that for today? Extremely vital. We're facing things that this earth, the United States, has never faced before in my lifetime. If there's anything that we need revelation knowledge on how to deal with it. We can read the Bible, and then the Holy Spirit can reveal something. All of a sudden, we see exactly what we need to do. Why? Because revelation comes. This is what you need to do. This is how you do it. This is how you do what you just read. How important it is today, because for such a time as this, we are here. We are here for such a time as this. We're not here as just people strolling through earth with nothing to do. We've got plenty to do. We've got an entire world to change. Starting with home, the community, the state, the nation, other nations. We have a task at hand. No, I've just got my bus ticket to go to heaven. Whenever he calls, I'm going. Well, you know, that's a small part of being saved. It's a small thing. You know, the children of Israel, when they was going to the promised land, that wasn't heaven to them. That was the promised land. We have a promised land. Not just heaven. We're here to love God. Make the difference. Now, we can say, well, I love God. I really love people, but I don't want to be involved. You know, he's put us here to be involved. We need to hear on what we need to be involved in. We need to hear what it is that God is telling us to go do that's in line with this. So you begin to see over in Acts, he says this, for last days. How many you think we're in the last days? Last days. Last days, God says this, I will pour forth my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dreams. I don't know why the old men have to be asleep. The old men just sleep all the time. Young men, they get to see all these visions. For us to get stuff, we got to... Anyway, I'm just wondering, I think as I read, old men shall dream dreams. And then it says, even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. What is he saying? He said, I'm going to have dreams, going to have visions, going to prophesy. What is that? That's a revealing a revelation knowledge that is coming forth to these people, us. It is the last days. He said, in the last days, I'm going to do this. And then he said, I'll do it. I'll pour it out upon my bond slaves. I'll pour it out upon my people. He said, he said eventually going to pour it out on all flesh. He said, I'm going to pour it out on my people, both men and women. And they're going to be able to prophesy. They're going to be able to see. They're going to have this revelation that's going to come to them. And they're going to be able to pray it. They're going to be able to say it. They're going to be able to meditate on it. They're going to be able to ponder on it. They're going to be able to prophesy. They're going to be able to proclaim. They're going to be able to do all this. Why? Because it's revelation knowledge that's coming. Because the Spirit's speaking to us. Yeah, a lot of deception not going on. It's already here. You know, but the deception will be greater. Isaiah said in those days, he said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Because he goes on, he says, because darkness is coming, and not just darkness, but gross darkness. Even upon the understanding of the people, we're going to be facing people that have no understanding. And who are they going to be looking to? Come on, who are they going to be looking to? Us. And what did he say at the beginning of that chapter? Arise, get up. It's hard for a man that's dreaming dreams to get up, you know. He said, get up, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has what? Risen upon you. Meaning what? People can see it. And it's not that we have halos and these glowing things around us. That's not what he's talking about. Because the glory of the Lord is his character. They're going to see the character of Jesus on every one of us. Okay. So God wants us to hear. God wants us to see. Listen to this one over in John 15:15. John 15:15. Jesus, red letter words again. What does he say? No longer do I call you slaves. Meaning what? He did call them slaves. He did call them servants. No longer do I call you slaves. For a slave does not know, it's not revealed to him, does not know what the master is doing. All a slave does is what? Obey. Go do this, go do it. Go do this, go see this, go look after this, go do it. Why? A slave obeys. Listen to this. But he goes on, he says, and here's the transfer. He goes on and says, but I have called you friends. No longer do I call you slave. No longer do I call you somebody that just wants to obey and that's it. Is obedience important? Absolutely. But as a slave, you do what they say and that's all you do. But he said, I don't call you slaves anymore. I have called you friends. And watch this. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. What the revelation knowledge that the Father has given me, I'm giving it to you. Why is that? Your friend. Your friend. How did he become a friend? Reagan's my friend. He was going to give me $20, and I didn't even ask him for it. Anytime, brother, I'll take the 20. I'm messing with you. I really am. So you begin to see what? You begin to see that in friendship, the friendship with him is the fruit of, the fruit is revelation knowledge. The fruit of you being a friend is revelation knowledge. Why? He said, I call you friend. And not only do I call you friend, he said, everything that he has shown me, everything he's shown me, I'm going to show you. But why? Because we're friends. Because we're friends. How many in here, you have a friend? You have at least one friend. How many of you are in question? I don't know that I've got one friend. You got a friend in Jesus, right? See, a friend, the friend that's really a friend, you know, can you call that person and they'll be there? Absolutely. You can call a slave, right, and say, hey, come over here and do this. Unless you're the master, forget it. Do you hear me? You can call a servant. No, I want you to come. Look, a friend will just lay everything down for you. A friend loveth at all times. Wounds. What's that one? The wounds of a friend are faithful. Faithful is the wounds of a friend. If you've got a real friend, they'll tell you. So you got a friend that, listen, you know, we got a friend in Jesus, and he leads the Holy Spirit to tell us what we need to do. And a lot of times we'll say, I bind you, Satan. I ain't listening to you. I'm not going to listen to that. When it's the devil, when it's God, and we say, that can't be God. Why, that's going to make me uncomfortable. Listen, the reason he don't care about your comfort. That's the reason he sent a comforter. Why in the world did he send a comforter if we wasn't going to be uncomfortable? I think about these things when I read. Why am I going to need a comforter? You're going to need one. This is going to get rough for you at times. And you're going to need my presence in that way, in that form. one more thing. We're going to close it up. I got so much more, but they don't have time to do it. You know, God reveals his secrets to his friends. The mysteries, he reveals it to his friends. See, when you read this without the Spirit of God, it'll lead you to bondage. Because it'll be law to you. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, you remember those guys? They just walked, Jesus has died and all that, and they're walking and in their grief and all that kind of stuff. Man, I thought this was going to turn out a lot different, didn't you? Yeah, I did. And all of a sudden, Jesus just shows up and he's walking with them. I don't know about you, that would have got my attention to begin with. Where'd he come from? You know? But they start talking to him, he just shows up. Another time, when he walks through the wall, the disciples said, listen, I think about these things when I read. They're inside the house, afraid that they're going to be next on the cross. They're afraid. And then he walks through a wall and they're already afraid. It's like, I just don't get it. I mean, I'm like, you know, in my reason, I'd say, Jesus, let me help you out here. Knock on the door. They're already scared out of their wits, you know. But no, Jesus knows. Why did he do that? He saw the Father doing it. He just showed up, walked through a wall, just showed up. Reveals himself. But anyway, they don't know who he is, and he starts talking to them, and they said, didn't you know these things happened? He said, what things? What? It was him that they did it to. And he says, what things? And they start talking about, you know, hey, you know, our Savior, our Master was crucified, and da 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 da. They don't know who he is. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting on Jesus to always show up in a form of a denomination, you might miss him. He might not come in that form. They didn't recognize him. Then he started revealing himself, and to shorten it up, he started revealing himself, and then they broke bread together and had communion. And then their eyes were opened. Revelation, knowledge came to them. And as he spoke about the things, and what was the statement that they made? Revelation, knowledge came. And what was the statement that they made? Did not our hearts burn within us? What made their heart burn? Revelation, knowledge. Jesus was there for a good while. Their heart wasn't burning. They didn't recognize him. Then it was revealed. Revelation came, the revelation, knowledge of who he is and what he's there for. Then they started burning. What was they burning for? More. That's written, more. I want to know more about him. I want to know more about what I'm supposed to do, what am I supposed to do next. I want the fullness of his knowledge, fullness of his revelation, right? I'm going to share this and we'll close. The promised land was close by. Moses sent 12 spies out. You remember that? They went and spied out the land. God said it's full of milk and honey and grapes. It took two men to tote one cluster of grapes. I'd like to eat some of them. Two men to tote. Y'all know what tote means. Okay. Two men to carry. Two men to carry a cluster of grapes. 10 of them come back. 10 of them come back and say, yeah, it's a good land. But we have seen them dudes over there, and they are big. Matter of fact, they're giants. They're so big, in our eyes, we look like grasshoppers. And we also look like grasshoppers in their eyes. No, we don't need to go over there. Nah. The whole congregation heard it. And the congregation began to get angry and mad. Who'd they get mad at? The leadership. Ta-da! They got mad at the leadership. Why are we out here anyway? We should have never come out here. We should have died in Egypt. We'd have been better off if he didn't bring us out here. Then they actually say, let's get us another leader. Let's can these dudes and let's get us another leader. And we'll get that leader to take us back to Egypt. Are y'all in? Yep, we in. We in. Yep, we ready to go. Then up steps Caleb and Joshua. And they said, hold on a minute. It is an exceedingly good land. And it does flow with milk and honey. And then some other knowledge, revelation knowledge, comes to him and said, God will give it to us. God is for us. They, the enemy, will be our bread. We will devour them. Because God is with us. Why? Revelation knowledge is speaking. You know what the congregation says? Stone these guys. So you get resistance when God gives you something. A lot of times you'll get resistance. Anyway, unless you have revelation knowledge, unless the Spirit is revealing things to you, you will not get to the promised land, because all those that agreed with the 10 didn't go in. Matter of fact, not only did they not go in, they were led to the wilderness. Without revelation knowledge, you'll be led to the wilderness. How many of you have ever been in the wilderness? Well, I mean, if you've really been in the wilderness, give me one of these. All right, so I'm talking to the right people. So we've been in the wilderness. But see, God is in the midst of the wilderness as well. revealing to us. So he's showing us in this message, in the Word, that we have a huge need of revelation knowledge. We need to position ourselves. How? Don't do things just out of duty. Do them out of desire. Because he's your friend. And he is your friend, and you're a friend to him. He said, I call you friend. Do it out of a desire. Come worship, not because, oh, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, I've got to be. Why? Out of duty? That is slavery mentality. Friend mentality. I want to go over there. I want to be with him in the midst of the congregation. I want to see my brothers and sisters. I want to pray. I want a ministry. I want to minister to people. I want to experience the presence of God. Why? That's a desire. The desire, that's called friendship. In that atmosphere, revelation knowledge comes. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I done closed twice, so. So you begin to see that he doesn't call us because he has seen the obedience. He's seen us when we acted like slaves. We got to do this just because he said. Instead of, we got to do this because I want to do what he said. I want to please him in my doing. When the church learns this principle, when the church learns this principle, there'll be areas that we will go that we've never been before. There'll be things that we will do that we've never done before because we're operating from a speaking God who is speaking to us today for this day and time. And it will not be conflictive with this. That's where we're headed. How about you? Is that where we're going?
Yes.
All right, stand to your feet. I encourage you not just to hear the words that was spoken, because Jesus told us, do not just hear them, but do what? Do them. Do the words. But it might be hard. Oh, it probably will be hard. Sometimes you just got to give up something in order to get something. Sometimes you have to just say, okay, I'm yours, just like the little drummer boy. I don't have anything. But what I have is just me, and I give me to you. I surrender. All that I am, I just surrender. And things will begin to change in your life, yours and my life. See, the Bible says that those who do not have this revelation knowledge, he said, my people will be in bondage without it. We can know the scriptures, but without the revealing of the Holy Spirit, we will still have certain amounts of bondage held back. It may be fear, it may be something else, but we'll be held back because the Spirit of God is, we're not allowing the Spirit of God to show us the deeper things of God. Do you want to know the deeper things of God? Do you want to know the deeper things of God? Me too. Father, in Jesus' name, we present ourselves to you. Lord, we move from this place of obedience to abiding. We want to abide with you. Lord, you said if we abide with you that and you abide in us, that we could ask what we want. And it would be given. So when we abide, to move us from this place of obeying to abiding. It's not that we won't obey, Lord. We will, but we won't act as slaves. we'll be acting as friends, abiding with you, resting with you, resting in you, and changing the world as we just walk in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. If you do not know Jesus Christ, today is a good day to get to know him. If you like to receive Christ, you don't have him, and you'd like to receive Christ, you can come to this altar. We're going to dismiss. You can come to this altar, Brother Doug. Brother Doug, you just come on down. And if you like to say yes to Jesus, you just come on to him. Next Sunday, do what?
Wear red.
Wear red. Invite somebody. The Arbor Wind Trio will be here. We will have Sunday school. We will not have kids' church. God bless you. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.